This is the Byron Bledsoe Podcast, Senior Pastor of C3 Church in Orlando, Florida. Thank you so much for checking out today's message. We hope this word encourages you and inspires you. Let's jump into the message.
Want to know ultimately, where did I come from? And it's the reason, like Ancestry.com, 23andMe. I don't know if you've ever done that, where you kind of send your DNA in and they tell you, oh, here's your makeup. Here's kind of your history, the people that helped create who you are. I found out, I already knew this from family stories, but I've got a little bit of Comanche Indian in me, like in my last little part of my pinky finger, just a tiny, tiny bit. But you find out different amounts of what you have, and we're all curious about that because ultimately we want to know, where did I come from? Why am I like this? What is the reason I do this? And sometimes, because things happening in our lives, we think, oh, my dad's like this, so that's why I'm like this, or my mom's like this, so that's why I do this. But we are constantly chasing, how am I wired? What is this about? Why do I do the things I do? Why do I wrestle with what I wrestle with? Who am I? This morning, we're beginning a study in the book of Genesis, all the way back, very first book in all the Bible. So if you have the YouVersion app, YOUVersion, incredible app, it's free. Download that. You can follow along in the verses. If you hit the little hamburger menu in YOUVersion, you can search live events, and C3 is on there, and so all the verses are already in there. You can take notes in there. Or maybe you have an old-school paper Bible. Genesis, hey, it's easy. Page one. Like, just go to page one. Very first book in all the Bible. And we're going to be walking through this verse by verse, and here's the reason we do this. In life, it's not only important to know what you believe, but you need to know why you believe it. Because when things get difficult, it becomes very challenging. It's not just enough to know, I believe this, but why do you believe it? It's an important part of who we are, and I have a passion as pastor of C3. I want you to know your Bible. I want you to know the Word of God, because that's what's going to help you. It's not going to be some saying I say in a message. It's going to be the Word of God that actually builds a foundation and helps to change, shape, and form your life and who you are. It won't surprise you to know that I believe the Bible is the Word of God, and we talk about that a lot, that the Bible is written by God through human authors. But when you hear me say that, please don't think dictation, think inspiration. How did God author the Bible through people? 66 books written over hundreds and hundreds of years by a lot of different people. How did he put all that together? Think of a master musician, someone that has the ability to come in and play the keyboard in an incredible way, a lot like Uche, does a phenomenal job on keys. But that same musician could come in and play the electric guitar, they could play bass, they could play the drums or acoustic. If they walk in the room and they go to the keys to play a particular song they've written, they're going to choose the keys because it will enhance and bring out certain elements of the song that only the keys can do, the bass can never accomplish. But they could come over and play that same song on the bass and it will drive home certain parts of the song in a way that the keys can't accomplish. Same song, different instrument. Same song, accenting different things that those instruments can bring into the song. Scripture's a lot like that. God uses different instruments, different people, to write different parts of the Bible. And it's the same song, but they're going to bring out different things based on their personality. For example, the Apostle Paul. God used him to write about 13 books in what we call the New Testament. Paul, I don't know if my man had ADD, I don't know what's going on, but you start reading a paragraph and by the end it's a different subject. Even the Apostle Peter said Paul is hard to understand. That's Paul. John, Gospel of John, John simple. See Jesus walk. Like Gospel of John's kindergarten, we can all get it. And it's just John and his makeup. So when you think of the Word of God being inspired by God, same song, all in context together, using different instruments to accentuate what he wants to accentuate in that particular book. The book of Genesis is written by Moses. But the book of Genesis, it's part one in a five-part series. Moses writes the first five books in the Bible, the vast majority. The last chapter of Deuteronomy, someone else writes because Moses is dead, still inspired by God. But Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. First five books. So in context, they were originally meant to be read all together. We're just walking verse by verse through the book of Genesis. It's about 3,500 years old. This book. It covers, in the 50 chapters in Genesis, about 2,000 years. What's interesting about that is the rest of the Bible altogether covers about 2,000 years. But Genesis covers that 2,000 years of history in one book. So literally, when you turn a page in Genesis, you could be turning centuries. A lot of truth is packed into this book. At this very moment, on the surface of the sun, it is 10,000 degrees. At the same time, at this very moment, on Neptune, it's 360 degrees below zero. With all of the places you and I could be, we're actually in the only place we can be. Out of all of the universe, the only place that we know of where human life could thrive and survive, that's where we are. It's not just that we're accidentally here. It's not just that it's the best option. It's the only option. When you feel the breeze standing at the edge of the ocean, even on a hot day, or when you see the majesty of a Florida sunset, almost as good as Texas, or when you look at the intricacy and the beauty of a rose, when you think about the different aspects of four different seasons, or if you live in Orlando, one and a half seasons, you think about all that's in our world, and you look around, and how did this happen? How did we get here? The important thing about Genesis as we begin is to understand this. It is not written to be a book of science, and it's not written to be a book of history. Genesis will not cover all of the issues in life, but it will cover everything in life that we need to know God, and to know how to live life at its best and highest level. Genesis chapter 12, we're introduced to Abraham. Abraham is the father of the nation of Israel. God makes him this incredible promise. He says, hey, I know you're old, you're approaching 100, but you're going to have a baby. I think I would have a stroke. But he says, hey, here's what I'm going to do. You're going to be the father of a nation. I got no kids. I'm going to take care of that. And through Abraham, the nation of Israel, the Jewish people, God's people, are blessed in significant ways. And sometimes you want to know where you're from, and you want to know your family history, because you want to understand why you have to overcome the things you have to overcome. Some of you, father is not a good word. Some of you, mother does not mean nurturing. And you look at your life, and you're wondering, why am I the way I am? Why do I struggle with what I struggle with? How come I can't complete or finish certain things? Why do I deal with these different aspects in life? And you want to blame it on your family history. And there are contributing factors. But I want you to understand that if you're a follower of Jesus, you are a spiritual descendant of Abraham. So while Genesis is not a science book, it's not a history book, it's the story of a family. If you're a follower of Jesus, this is your family tree. It is the story of your family and how God worked and how God used that family, your family, in history. Genesis is one of the most well-known books in the Bible, but it's also one of the most misunderstood books in all the Bible. The word means beginnings, Genesis, beginnings or origin. It's the beginning of creation. It's the beginning of life. It's the beginning of earth. It's the beginning of sunshine and rain. It's the beginning of day and night. It's the beginning of cold and hot. It's the beginning of the human race. It's the beginning of nations. It's the beginning of language. This is the book where we find religion beginning. This is the beginning of marriage and family and relationships. It's the beginning of laughter and tears. Joy had been around, but this is the beginning of pain. It's the beginning of everything that you and I know in life. And the stories on these pages of what happened in history, they're not given by accident. Every word, every story, the principles and practices conveyed are both intentional and essential in knowing God and in living your best life. So Genesis chapter 1, we begin where we began. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. In the beginning, God created. The first five words in the Bible, there is a collision with culture and how we feel sometimes in two ways. In the beginning, God. Quickly, you've got to resolve, do you believe there's a God or not? In the beginning, God created. How did we get here? Some people believe in a big bang. Other people believe in a big God. it could be that the voice of God was the Big Bang. How did we get here? Where did we come from? There's creation. There's the Big Bang and evolution. But I just want to ask you to think for a moment, because this is so important that God begins the entire Bible with this concept. And until you settle this issue of who is God and did he create, nothing else in life will be at the level it could be, and nothing else in life will make sense the way it could. If I were to tell you that hundreds of years ago, thousands of years ago, somebody took a variety of strands of fiber and laid them on the ground, the fiber in fabric, and took different sizes and shapes and kinds of metal and just laid them on the ground, and then took pieces of foam, different sizes and shapes, and laid them on the ground, and after hundreds and thousands of years, bang, it's the chair you're sitting in. You would say, you're crazy. In fact, there's not one thing in this room that you look at that you think accidentally happened. That wall did not just stand up one day by itself out of nothing. The lights in here, they didn't just hang themselves and come in precisely the exact spot where they're supposed to be, equally distanced from each other, to light the room in a perfect way. That did not accidentally happen. You know that when you see a design, there had to be a designer. When you see a creation, there had to be a creator. It actually takes a whole lot more faith to believe, bang, and we all evolved into this. And are we proud of our evolution? Because while we're evolving and gaining in technology, we're quite lacking now in wisdom. While we seem to be improving in some areas, in the main areas, the things that matter the most in life and the most forever, we seem to be declining. And so, if you believe Big Bang, evolution, I'm not mad at you, and you're welcome here. I just want to encourage you to look at these first five words in all of the Bible that for some reason God decides he's starting this way. And ask yourself the question, what do I believe about God? What do I believe about creation? Because if the Bible says, in the beginning God created and he didn't, God's a liar, don't read past the first five words. In the beginning, God created. It's interesting. The first few words set sort of an expectation where God is not introduced, he's announced. He needs no introduction. He doesn't take the time to say, let me explain to you that I really exist, because it's written by God through Moses. Remember, Moses is the instrument. And so in that context, he doesn't bother with the whole argument of is there a God or not. That is a waste of his time, because God himself knows that he exists. In the beginning, God created. That word created, it's the word bara. In the original language, the Hebrew, it's the word bara. It means to make without the aid of existing substance. You know what that means? It means God took nothing and made something. Now, because he's God, he has the ability to take nothing and make something. And I don't know if you know this, but he still does that. He can take our nothing and make something. He can take the nothing of an insecure life and bring confidence and security in a relationship with him. He can take the nothing of a broken marriage or a broken relationship and bring restoration and peace and harmony. He can take the nothing of a hopeless child that feels without direction and bring confidence and direction and purpose to that child's life. He can take the nothing of failed goals and ambitions and build a life of significance where it looked like nothing would happen. He can take the nothing of confusion and chaos and bring solid answers that we can build a life on. He can always take nothing and make something. Our God, in the beginning, he created, he stepped into nothing and spoke something into existence. And the only way something could appear from nothing is if there's a God that pulls it off and makes it happen. There's no other way that happens. I think it's important to understand that nothing, maybe you feel like in some area of life you're a nothing. There's a scattered history of failed relationships. There's a lot of damage of poor financial decisions. There's a lot of career changes, and you still don't feel like you're living your purpose. And maybe you just feel like in some area of life, I'm just a nothing. God can always take nothing and make something. It's who He is. Verse 3, and God said, let there be light. Pause. It's interesting to me that as He begins to create, the first thing that's created is light. It's almost like God is saying, let me turn the lights on so you can see everything I'm about to do. But everything He's about to do, it's going to unfold day by day, the story of what God creates each day. And as that happens, it is not simply for our information, it's for our inspiration. Because if God can step into nothing and speak something into existence and day by day create different things, if God has the ability to turn light on in the darkest kind of darkness, then what can He do in our life? The question that Genesis chapter 1 really kind of prods us to ask, the question that we wrestle with and we have to figure out is this: how big is your God? How big is your God? If He can pull this off, how big is your God? And God said, let there be light. Light has always been connected with God. And it's important to understand that maybe the nothing you're dealing with is a whole lot of darkness in some area of life. You've got a decision to make. You've got something you're processing, and you have no idea what's wise or what's best. God has the ability to turn light on in the middle of darkness. Even in the New Testament, the Bible says Jesus is the light of the world. There is no greater light than this light, the illumination of a God who says, let me turn on some clarity in this area for you. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. God saw that the light was good. And He separated the light from the darkness, and God called the light day. Don't miss this. God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And there was evening, and there was morning the first day. Before God creates mankind, He creates time. He separates day and night, and it's in this moment that we begin the journey of seconds and minutes and hours and days and weeks and months and years and decades. Before this moment, that did not exist. Time does not exist for God to inhabit. He created time to house us. He's outside of time. He's eternal. Before time existed, God was. He has no beginning. He has no end. He's the Alpha and the Omega, even beyond the end. And time often means far less to God than it means to us. Perhaps that's why sometimes it seems He's not on time. Sometimes it seems like God is too late. God missed the opportunity. The circumstance where you desperately needed Him has passed, and now you're living in what you think is a less than because God didn't show up and God didn't do what God was supposed to do. And if you were God, you would have done it differently because He wasn't on time. He's too late to rescue me. He's too late to change my circumstances. We feel that way because we forget that time cannot constrain God. God does not play by the rules of time. He rules time. It's who He is. The one true God, if He could speak creation into existence, that God, could He ever be too late? If He has the ability to step into nothing and create something, is He ever too late? Is there ever something He can't resolve, a situation He can't heal or fix, or a circumstance He can't use in your life to help you live and exist in a better life? God shows up, and every time He does, in the beginning, God created. Every time God shows up, it's the beginning of something. He's always able, always capable, always wise, always powerful. We are limited. We are limited by the laws of time. We feel the pressure of time, and sometimes it drives us to weakness, and we feel overwhelmed, and it elevates our stress. But remember, the Bible says, in our weakness, He's made strong. Because He's not limited by time like we are. His strength is revealed when I can't accomplish it, but He can. When it's more than I can overcome, when it's more than I can fix. In the beginning, God created. How big is your God? Verse 6, and God said, let there be a vault between the waters to separate water from water. So God made the vault separate the water under the vault from the water above it. This is not land and sea. This is earth and sky. And so it was. God called the vault sky, and there was evening and there was morning the second day. The question, how big is your God if he can pull that off? And God said, let the water under the sky be gathered to one place and let dry ground appear. And so it was. God called the dry ground land, and the gathered waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. How big is your God? Then God said, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants, and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it according to their various kinds. And it was so. How big is your God? The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds. And some of you love the vegetation God produced. You're all about it. And God saw that it was good. I'm not endorsing, I'm just reading, sorry. And there was evening and there was morning the third day. How big is your God? Over and over again, why is God giving us a portion of his resume and what happened each day? To impress us? No. To inform us and inspire us. You have a big, big God. He's able to pull this off out of nothing. And God said, let there be lights in the vault of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark sacred times and days and years, and let them be lights in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth. And it was so. How big? How big is your God? God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars, and God set them in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth, to govern the day and night, and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good, and there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. How big? How big is your God? And God said, let the water teem with living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the vault of the sky. So God created the great creatures of the sea and every living thing with which water teems and that moves about in it, according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. How big? How big is your God? And God saw that it was good. God blessed them and said, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the water in the seas and let the birds increase on the earth. And there was evening and there was morning the fifth day. How big is your God? How big is your God? And God said, let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds. The livestock, steak, the creatures that move along the ground, and the wild animals, each according to its own kind. And it was so. How big is your God? Are you not impressed yet? See, the problem is we casually read certain passages in Scripture. And let me be honest. Let's just be honest. We're in church, and if you think it, you might as well say it, because you're going to get charged for it anyway. Aren't there portions of the Bible that seem mundane? Aren't there portions of the Bible that are like, yeah, 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 yeah? Oh, don't just glance at this. Don't miss the profundity of what God is communicating. It is not what he did moment by moment, day by day. It's what he is able to do in your life and mine moment by moment, day by day, because he is a big, big God. Amen. That's who he is. God saw that it was good. And we've been messing up good ever since. When your life is in trouble, and there will be moments and seasons when your life is in trouble, I'm not excited about that. I'm just going to be honest with you. We all walk through dark days. We all go through deep pain. There are always moments that are a struggle. Don't ever believe what you see on social media where it looks like people's lives are perfect. They're not. You don't see the 85 things they didn't post. You don't see the story that they're living that doesn't make it to their story on their reel. They just show you what they want you to see. When your life is in trouble, you need to know, if you're a follower of Jesus, your God was here before it all began. And he's powerful enough to create. He's a powerful God. And when life's a mess, when life is empty, he stepped into nothing and created something. How can I be filled with meaning and peace and joy and purpose when I feel so empty? You need to know. You have a God that can create nothing, something from nothing. He can take what's empty and fill it with beauty. In the beginning, God created. How big is your God? What do you do with that? In the beginning, God created. If our God is so big that he created everything, he can probably handle my thing and he can probably handle your thing. If he's so big that he created everything, I wonder, how much would your problems shrink if you viewed God as big as he really is? How much would your struggle fade if you saw God for who he really is and how powerful he is? How much less stress would you live with? How much less often would you worry if you viewed God every day of your life in every circumstance, the good and definitely the bad, as big as he actually is? The unique thing about our God is he is both all-powerful and all-loving. Our God is powerful, and our God cares. We often step in and take over our lives because we think that God either doesn't care or isn't able or aware. Genesis reminds us that God is both. He's powerful and he cares. Genesis doesn't just remind us of this, it starts with this. Right from the beginning, God says, you need to know, I am all powerful and I care. How much do I care? I'm going to make you. I'm going to create you. And I'm going to give you a manual that shows you exactly how to live life at its best level. Think about it. We have a God, the God that did all this and more, that loves us. Not only does he love us, I mean, sometimes, I don't know if you're like me, sometimes I think, yeah, you're God, you have to love me, that's God. God not only loves you, he likes you. God not only likes you, he wants to spend time with you day by day. Can you imagine walking through life, dealing with everything we have to deal with, worrying about the things we worry about, living under the pressure that we live under, wrestling with and struggling through, so many times being confused and not knowing what to do? Can you imagine living like that when we have access to this God? And he wants to hear from us daily. He wants us to spend time with him every single day. What are you missing in life because you don't view God as big as he really is? What are you consumed with? Because worship, the essence of worship is focus. Worship is not just singing in this room. That is part of it. It's an element of worship. But worship is what I put my focus on, what I think about the most, what I adore the most, what I chase the most in life. And some of you worship worry. You spend the bulk of your time focused on what's wrong and what you can't do and what might happen and how you can't navigate it and how you're going to fix it or what somebody did to you or how somebody talked about you. How would your Mondays change if you just recognize how big your God is? If you spent more time focused on that than the people who sometimes don't represent him well. Why does he start here? In the beginning, God created. Why start here? Because you want to know why you're the way you are. You want to know where you came from. And he wants us to know what we have access to and what we can be a part of. See, your view of creation, my view of creation, it impacts our entire view of God and how we make decisions in our lives. So rather than the story you tell yourself that helps you think less of you, what if every day, because the Bible says there's power in words, that the tongue has the power of life and death. What if you stopped reminding yourself of stuff that's not fully true and started reminding yourself of who you are and what's actually true? What if every single day in those moments that you struggle, in those moments that you're wrestling, what if you begin to say to yourself and think to yourself, my God is big enough, my God is powerful enough, my God is enough. My God is big enough, my God is powerful enough, my God is enough. Why do we view God as the last thing we need to access when we're in trouble? Somebody's going through something and you can't fix it. You want to fix it because you care about them. But they're going through something and what do you say? I guess all we can do is pray. I guess all we can do is pray. Like talking to the God that just pulled all this off in 6 days. What have you done the last 6 days? The God that pulled this off in 6 days. All you can. Prayer is not your last defense. Prayer is your best option. My God is big enough. My God is powerful enough. My God is enough. My God is big enough. My God is powerful enough. My God is enough. How would your life change? How would your relationships change? The things you worry about? Listen, when you worry a lot, your God is too small. When you live under stress all the time, your God is too small. When you live riddled with anxiety day by day, moment by moment, your God is too small. I'm not saying you're not dealing with some real stuff. I'm just saying your real God is bigger than all your real stuff. My God is big enough. My God is powerful enough. My God is enough. Do you live like that? The story of creation told in Genesis 1. In the beginning, God. It's not to impress you. It's to bless you. Because there are days and seasons in life you need a God that can step into nothing and create something. You need a God who's okay with having nothing to work with. You need a God who is not bound by time and circumstance and pressure the way you and I are. And this is God, the one true God that you and I have an opportunity to know. Some of you, I say this with a heart of love. And please remember, every single thing I say to you, I say to myself a whole lot more the week before. So what I'm about to say to you, I've said to me more times. Some of you don't need God to change your circumstances as much as you need God to change your view of God. How big is your God? How able is your God? You have a great big God. And He loves you so much, He's invited you to call Him Father. This God, to pull all of this off, wants you to call Him Father and wants you to know Him. He wants you to know that He can and He will meet every need you have. Even if He has to create something out of nothing, He's not afraid. Would you pray with me this morning? And now, Father, I pray for every single person in this room that's a follower of Christ, walking through something hard, something painful, something where it feels like life may never be the same again. And I pray through your Spirit that you will remind us in our hearts and lives, not just today in this moment, but throughout this week, that you are a God that is big enough, and you are a God that is powerful enough, and you are a God that is enough. So I pray that in our struggle, in our pain, in our suffering, sometimes that this week we would simply look to you because you're enough. And you're not too late. You're working in ways beyond anything we can see or understand. But because you love us and you invite us to call you Father, we can trust you. With heads bowed and eyes closed, maybe you're here today. And the greatest need in your life is to invite Jesus to come into your life and be your personal God. I asked you the question, how big is your God? The question that goes before how big is your God is He your God? You don't have access to all of this if you don't know Jesus in a personal way. And I can't think of a better day than today to invite Jesus to come into your life. I can't think of a single reason not to invite Jesus to come into your life. This is who your God is and who He wants to be in your life. And so if you know, I need to invite Jesus to come into my life, forgive my sin, give me a home in heaven after this life, and live inside me through this life, I want to invite you to pray a very simple prayer. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You can pray it out loud, or you can pray it in the quietness of this moment. The Bible says that Jesus knows even our thoughts. Just pray this prayer. Dear God, I know that I need you. Jesus, please come into my life, forgive my sin, and help me to live for you. As best I know how, I commit my life to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much for joining us. If you just prayed that prayer, we would love to know it. You can text your name to 407-487-8311, and Pastor Byron will be praying for you this week. And also, we want to thank you for your faithful generosity. You can go to giveC3.cc or you can text C3 Orlando to 77977. Thank you so much for how you give. And if you are in Central Florida, please join us in person at our campus at 9:30 or 11 a.m. on Sunday mornings. Have a great week.